Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
All right, this is Pastor Jason Cooley with the Old Paths Broadcast Network here, and we're coming to you live here. I'm at the Northern Command here and kind of holding the fort down and for a few weeks here, and Pastor Brandon will be back sometime in the future here, but going to be doing some work on my own here, so to speak, and excited about a series that I'm going to be doing here with you, and we'll get to talking about that, but we're going to start tonight. Now, we might finish, but I'm not exactly sure if we will finish with it today. I'm not quite sure if we will, because we're going to be talking about the Genesis 6 sons of God, and I tried to do this before. You know, all hell broke loose on us. The prince of the power of the air took over, and I'll tell you, we couldn't get anything out. I couldn't get an internet signal. The show was down. Everything started just falling apart. It seems like when you start touching on the devil's kingdom and you start talking about the God of this world and his work and what he does, and you expose that wickedness, here's what happens. He comes a-fighting and attacking, and listen, the only defense that we have, I want to share something with you before we even get into our segment on, current events and what's going on, that we talk about, and even just our teaching. I want to warn you of something here. There's only one way to fight the devil, and that's through the power of the Word of God. And that's through prayer and supplication unto the Lord. You can't fight the devil in the flesh. If you try to fight the devil, Jesus gave us the perfect example in Matthew chapter 4 when he showed us that, hey, listen, God says to fight with his word. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, we need to understand that you got. So, in order for you to fight with the Word, you got to know it. You got to read it. You got to get in that King James Bible. You know, there's another sermon I want to preach sometime on, do you have the right sword? You know, David said, give me that one. There's none like it, he said. I'm paraphrasing it, but he said, there is none like it. I'll take that one. And you know what? That's what we have in our King James Bible. We have the right sword. Amen. We have the sword of the Lord. And there's so many out there. Do you ever wonder why America's going to hell and its churches look like hell? Here's the reason why. Because they're not fighting with the right sword. They don't have the sword of the Lord. They've got a false sword. They've got one with imperfections. They have one that is incomplete. They have one that's not been tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. They don't have that sword. They don't have the sword we have, and they're going to get in trouble, amen? So we got to use that sword and fight the devil. If you try to fight him with anything else, with your emotions, with your flesh, with anything, you're going to get destroyed. Just remember that. Please, don't ever forget that. Take out that Word of God. Take out that King James Bible. And, when you feel like Satan's attacking you, you just start reading that Word of God, and you start proclaiming God's truth. And you know what? The devil will flee from you. He doesn't want to be around you when you're bringing the Word of God out. He doesn't like the Bible. He doesn't like it quoted to him in the perfect King's English there. He doesn't like that. He'll run from that. He'll take off. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Read the book of Ephesians. Learn about the spiritual warfare we're in. Too many people today are ignorant of the spiritual warfare. So that was free. It didn't cost you anything. You can send me a bonus if you want to for that one. I just thought I'd give that to you just to be a blessing to you. But anyway, here's the thing. We have a section that we call, wake up and Brother Lonnie, you know about that wake up section. Let's hear about wake up, Brother Lonnie. I love that. That's something, isn't it? Well, listen, here's the thing. There's so many things going on in the news today. There's so much garbage out there. So many lies being perpetuated and so many people under absolute falsehoods. And it's sad to say that our country is just completely being destroyed. And we've got to understand what's going on, that this is a spiritual battle. And if we don't get that, if we don't comprehend that, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We got to wake up. Folks got to wake up to see the spiritual battle that's there. Church has got to wake up. And they got to know exactly what's going on. And God's people need to wake up and see what's really going on in this world today. Well, let's look at some of these things that are going on in the news here. Well, first of all, I don't know if this shocks anybody or not, but look at what we have here in our country. We have a president that lied to his citizens, and that's not a new thing. Bush did it. A lot of them did it. But anyway, most of them have. They lied. What did he lie about? He said, you know, you're going to be able to keep your health plan. You're going to be able to keep it, and nobody's going to lose it. Man, millions of people have lost it. Millions of people. How can a man in America, this shows you that our nation is given over to lying and thieving spirits, because this man can stand up and say what he did and do what he did, and most of the public doesn't really care. Why? Because I believe a lying spirit, I believe these things have been given over to this country, and that's where we're at right now. I mean, the deceivableness, that falling away that the Bible speaks of, I believe it's upon us. I believe we're seeing a great falling away. I believe that's what's happening. You know, we're seeing a great falling away. It's very sad to watch. It's sad to watch mainline churches. I was just seeing something here in the news the other day about beer and evangelism. You know, what in the world is that? You know, a monk's outreach as part of new evangelicalism, the new evangelization, these monks are out drinking beer with their people. Now, we understand the Vatican is the cage of every foul bird. It's that picture of that great Babylon in the end that's to rise. It's the false spirit. It's the Antichrist spirit. You know, so we understand all that. We know what that is. But isn't it shocking to you that these people that were supposed to at least pretend like they were Christians, they at least pretended like they were? And what do we see? We see him coming out and saying, well, beer and evangelism, that's the next thing. I mean, you've got Mark Driscoll doing this. You've got these perverts on the pulpit. I call them pimping preachers, you know, that are on the pulpits. They pimp the pulpits out. And, you know, this is what their game is. This is what they're all about. This is what their life is. They don't care about people. Friend, you got to understand one thing. They don't care about people. They don't. They don't care about souls of men. They're after money. They make merchandise. I just preached a sermon that you can see on our sermon audio page. And also on YouTube, if you want to go to our YouTube channel, you can check that out. Old Paths Baptist Church, MN. You can go to our YouTube channel and check that out. I just preached a sermon, about dumb dogs that cannot bark. And it's talking about pastors. The Bible's talking about these preachers, these dumb dogs that will not bark. They cannot bark. Why? They're so deceived and they're so hardened to the truth that when you bring them truth, they can't handle it. Man, I never thought I'd see the day where people would be arguing for liquor on Facebook. Christians would be arguing for liquor. It's just downright insane to me in the times we live in. But we are in the great falling away. The stuff that I got saved out of, these people are using to evangelize people. Are you kidding me? What is that? It's nothing more than the end times deceiving spirit that's coming, that deceivableness that's to come on upon all the world. That, you know, it's lying signs and wonders that are on the way, and they're here now even, and we're seeing it. So anyway, we go from Obamacare to beer and evangelism. I don't know. It's all the same spirit, if you understand that. It's one of the things that people have a hard time understanding, though. they have a hard time understanding that there's that I had people question, say, well, man, I can't believe you really believe that this is a conspiracy. Yeah, I believe there's a spirit behind all of this. I believe it's the same spirit that's behind Obamacare. It's the same spirit that's behind beer and evangelism. It's the same spirit. It's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I had somebody say to me, well, man, don't look for a devil behind every door. I'm like, really? Why not? They're there. Those devils are there. They're behind every door. There's a spirit world that's out there. And it's active. And it's working. And it now worketh in the children of disobedience as well. So, I mean, you got to understand that spirit war that's there, that's going on there. You got in the news the Duck Dynasty guys. They like to make their wine. They're making wine. And these guys are what you would call media attention whores. I mean, they got to have their name on everything. They bring some good old-fashioned type of common sense from the South. And people really embrace that, which, understand this, the reason why they embrace it is because it's been so long since anybody's had any values on TV. So, man, when they see somebody with some kind of values, my goodness, they're attracted to it. So I get the attraction to the Southern down-home type stuff. I get it, okay? I do. I might be from the North, but I get it. I get why people like them. But the point is that these guys are baptizing people, and they're baptizing them to be saved. Not because they're saved, but in order to seal their salvation. In order to say, now you're saved. You have to have my baptism. Do you know how scary that is, my friend? Do you understand how scary that is when some man says that he has the power of salvation in his hands? Run away from anybody, whether it's the Lutheran church, the Catholic church, a Baptist church, or a Church of Christ church, anybody that tells you that they have the power of salvation in their hands. Because that's really what they're saying. They're saying, well, if you don't get, you've got to be baptized to be saved. You don't get the blood of Christ unless you get baptized. Come from in the scriptures. So I got to, and it has to be an authorized baptism. It has to be an authorized baptism from the Church of Christ in order for it to be worthy. Now, listen, folks, I believe in Bible doctrine. I believe I'm preaching hard on Bible doctrine. And that might make you upset. You might be a fan of Duck Dynasty. Listen, I didn't tell you yet. I can tell you what to do, and you got to quit watching it. I'm just telling you what's going on in the news. I'm just telling you the truth. This is sick. This is sad. This is disgusting. These people are preaching a false gospel. Yeah, but I like them. Well, hey, I like them. I like the fact that they're standing up for some true things, too. But you know what? That's what Satan does. That's how he operates. He gives you a little bit of truth. A lot of truth and a little bit of error. But you know what? Just telling somebody, believe the gospel and be baptized, and telling them to be baptized for salvation. You want to know what that does, my friend? That'll send them to hell. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. He got her to add to God's word. But all she did was add a few words, yeah, but it brought death. If you add to God's word or you take away from God's word, it brings death. It brings a curse. The Bible says if they preach any of the gospel than that which you have received, then let them be accursed. Okay, that's not my words. That's the Apostle Paul's words. Amen? That's not mine. That's upon the authority of Scripture. So just understand that. That's some of the things. So don't be fooled by that. And hey, listen, these guys are making a whole lot of money. I'm not against people making money. I'm not. I'm not against people making money. Okay, it's great. I'm glad somebody is. Obama's taking everybody else's, so I'm glad somebody's making some money. Point is, though, that if it's not righteousness that they're preaching and they're leading people to hell, I didn't say don't buy their duck collars. They might have a good one. I'm just saying, listen, pay attention, learn something. Understand, be able to receive things that you don't like to hear. There's a lot of Christians that need to grow up out there and start receiving some things they don't want to hear. You know, I'm talking about truth. I'm not talking about error, but I'm talking about truth. You need to receive what the truth is and receive it anyway. So, you know, that's a couple of things that are going on here in the news. Other news, I mean, there was an election last night and a few people lost, a few people won. None of it really matters that much, to be honest with you. You know, the fact that all the money in the world was poured into an election to get somebody to win is pretty obvious why they won. But anyway, moving right along there, it really doesn't matter because they're all playing for the same team. So as soon as you understand that, you'll do more for the Lord than you will for trying to save the Republic. Hey, I'm all for standing up for liberty and righteousness. Don't get me wrong. I'm for standing up for the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, things like that. But I also understand that's secondary to what our mission is. And that's to preach the word, be incidences and odysseys and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering of doctrine. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And, you know, you just understand that. And remember that. Now, hey, listen, Putin visits the Pope. Isn't that something? Putin visits the old Pope. Well, boy, two devils visiting one another. Ain't that something? Huh? Two devils going to go see each other. Look the two devils right in the eye to each other. Boy, isn't that something? You know, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. So, but anyway, interesting in of itself. Also, another thing that I find is interesting, Billy Graham's final sermon. Billy Graham's final sermon. Billy Graham said, he said, you know, I weep for America. You know, I pray for America. I pray for America, he said. I weep for him. Listen, Billy, you're the problem with America. You sold America and you sold the gospel down the river a long time ago. I could show you, and unless you think that, lest you believe that I'm falsely accusing, all you got to do is Google Robert Shuler and old Billy and take a look at it. And you will see Billy Graham and on Robert Shuler's show, and Robert Shuler was like, hey, you don't preach such a narrow gospel, Billy. Yeah, he said, I think other people of other faiths can get saved too. I think they can go to heaven. Well, Billy just turned his back on the gospel, preached another gospel, continued to it, brought them to Rome, had them preach Roman Catholicism. Had them preach Roman Catholicism and allowed them to send them back to their churches and everything else, man. That's what he was doing the whole time. Had all this ecumenicalism going on, dropped any standards, dropped any truth, anything that he could have just to get money. And the Catholics filled up his meetings with money. And old Billy got rich off of it. Old Billy made himself right, made himself a good living off of it You know, he was well taken care of from that standpoint. And Billy's going to die, and I don't know if Billy's saved or not. That's between him and the Lord. I just can't believe, to be honest with you, that Billy Graham is saved and preaching the gospel that he preaches. But that's not my call. That's between him and the Lord. But it would shock me to no end that if that man was saved, seeing how the things that I've seen him preach and what he has said. I mean, you can't be fooled. Listen, a saved person can't be fooled into believing that the gospel doesn't work anymore, or that, you know, I know Peter got a little squirrely on the law for just a tad bit of a short time and was dealt with, but he was called to repentance. Billy's never repented. Billy's never changed. Billy's never done the right things. Billy has just doubled down on his wickedness. He's doubled down on his false doctrine. But Billy paved the way. You know, Billy paved the way for the New Age. He paved the way to help the New Age get a foothold into the churches. I mean, Billy really did a lot of work to do that. He dropped down a lot of barriers and a lot of safeguards of the churches. You know, look at all of you. You can go to wayoflife.org. You know, you might not agree with everything David Cloud says, but he's got a historical track record. You know, he's got a historical track record of what exactly Billy Graham has done over his career. And this is all objective. It's not, You know, it's not, hey, I hate this guy, you know, or subjective. It's you know, there's actually, if you go to the Faith Baptist Church page, you can see a link to the Billy Graham story where he denies Christ. I mean, you can see it right there. So take a look at that. And my goodness, how do you get any more scarier than that? I'm looking at it right now. Billy Graham denies Christ when he was interviewed by Robert Schuller on The Hour of Power. The Hour of Satanic Power is what it should have been called. I'm sorry, folks. Billy Graham's the devil. When I first started pastoring here in Minnesota, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I remember, you know, running across a lot of stuff on Billy Graham. And I also remember how people got very upset when I preached against the false gospel of Billy Graham and the wickedness of Billy Graham and everything like that. And man, I'll tell you what, these Baptists around here, even, because this is Billy country here. This is Billy goat country here. I mean, they like Billy here. But he's a Billy goat is what he is. He's not a sheep. He's not preaching the truth. He's more like a wolf. But, and that'll make some people upset. And I understand that, but do your research before you get mad. Can you do that? Can you do your research and find out exactly how Billy denied the Lord Jesus Christ and all the false gospel that he's preached and everything that he's done? Do that first, please, before you get mad. Just look into it. We've posted the links, and you can find them. You can find a track record of what Billy's done. Do that first, will you, please, and understand that. You know, here's another thing, skipping over the religious side of things for just a moment, or the spiritual side of things. I mean, it's all spiritual when it comes to things. We ought to look at everything spiritual. But, you know, I was reading an article today. A nudist claims pictures of his young daughters just family portraits. Very sick. This man was part of a nudist colony, and I guess they all live there nude. I guess that's legal in America. I don't know. But they all live in a nudist colony somewhere in Florida or someplace. And this nudist colony, they hired a photographer, this family did, hired a photographer to take pictures of their family nude, like nude portraits, like it's normal, like that's what they do. And they took nude portraits of their daughters. And, I mean, other people seen those. I don't care who's seen them. You're not supposed to take pictures like that. It's wicked. It's pornography. It's pornea. It's fornication. It's wicked. It's unbelievable. How could a man do that with his own daughters, take a picture of them like that? And they said, hey, listen, this guy didn't molest him. Nobody molested him. The DCFS checked it out and said nothing happened. But it's sick. It's disgusting. It's satanic is what it is. You look everywhere in the Bible. I did a study on this. You can look at some sermons I did on demon possession. I did that. There's three sermons on that on my sermon audio page. And you can look it up and you can see some of those. And what you'll find is that devils, people that are possessed by devils, what they do is they're naked. They're nude. I mean, nudity is a big part. Nudity is a big part of devil possession and demonic activity. Huh. Well, that sure explains a lot. Do a little study sometime. And I think you'll be interested in this. If you study this out, study what the Bible says, and they know it. It talks about a harlot in Proverbs, and there's two. I think it's Proverbs chapter 2 and another one in Proverbs, maybe chapter 7. I can't remember offhand right now, but do a study about that. And see what he says. He says that they knoweth not that the dead are there. That the dead, those unclean spirits, the dead, which is what it's referring to, are watching and inhabiting that area, and they're all about fornication. Witches and warlocks, when they do their seances, when they try to get familiar spirits, when they do their satanic rituals, their demonic rituals, devilish rituals and everything, nudity is a big part of that. So just, you know, just strange. When we see the news, it's just very strange when we see these things going on. We have to wonder, how long, O Lord, will you put up with this before judgment comes down strong? And we know that's going to come anytime. Because we believe the Bible. We know what the Word of God says, and we understand that. So, I mean, I know these are just, these are end times things. I mean, these are news articles we're talking about, but I think it's important. I'm trying to give you a spiritual perspective from the Word of God and a biblical perspective on news because, you know, you're trained by Fox News if you watch it. You're trained by whatever, Drudge or whatever. You're trained to think a certain way by these. This is what a conservative thinks. This is what a Republican thinks. How about what a Christian thinks? How about one that can rightly divide the scriptures and understand it? What they believe about moral and immoral things, and what they believe about government, what they believe about everything else. How about a scriptural perspective on it? We need to understand that, and have a good perspective on that, have a good understanding, and teach people the difference. So that's just a couple of things that's going on there in the news. And I mean, man, it just never ends. There's so much. By the way, there's a link to my sermon audio page there at Faith Baptist Church's Facebook page. Like their Facebook page, and then you can actually see some of these things on there. And you can visit our sermon audio page from there and click on that. And hey, take a look at it. And listen, we put those on there. We don't make money doing that. It costs us money to do that. We're not doing it for money. We want to get the truth out there to folks. We want to be a blessing to others. And man, I just praise the Lord that God allows us to do that. Man, we live in a day and age where God has allowed us to use this internet to preach the gospel, to call men to repentance, to bring the truth out there, to teach people the Word of God. What an amazing time we live in. And we shouldn't be discouraged. We should be encouraged. Amen. Because God has allowed us to live in these times. Hey, listen, another thing I find fascinating. The CIA pays AT&T for international call records. Wow, that's no surprise, is it? The CIA pays AT&T for international call records. Huh. Makes sense that they would do that. Because you know they don't big corporation. Whatever, it doesn't matter. New report too on here. Interesting. Police use a stun gun to stop a father from rescuing a 3-year-old son from a house fire. There's some good police officers out there. I want to say that because, cops get a bad rap a lot, because there are a lot of bad cops out there, just like there's a lot of bad judges out there. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? Would you just receive the truth and stop being stubborn about it? Yes, there's bad cops. There's many of them. There's probably 75% of them are bad. But hey, guess what? I got one for you. Probably 75% of preachers in America are bad too. So I'm not just picking on police officers when I say things like that. What am I doing? I'm telling the truth. That's what I'm doing. Probably 75% of preachers are bad out there. Don't preach the gospel anymore. Don't tell the truth. You know? I mean, come on. Understand that. Be a grown up, you know. And understand that I don't hate anybody except Satan. I hate him. But I love the Lord Jesus, and we love people, and want to try to reach them for Christ. I want to tell the truth out there about what's going on in this world today. Listen, we're coming up on a break here, and we're going to have a song by the Marksman Quartet here called "Love Letters in the Sand." And you listen to this song and let the Lord deal with your heart about it here. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Scarlet woman caught in her sin, brought to Jesus by self-righteous men. We caught this woman in the very act. We all saw her, that is a fact. We're not dumb, we already know what Moses wrote down a long time ago. But we came to see what you would do with this woman of scarlet hue. He wrote love letters in. love letters in the sand. They stood around with stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. Raptured this religious band, just stooped down slowly and rolled in the sand. Then in a firm, compassionate tone, sat with him without sin, cast the first stone. Then kneeling down as he had before, wrote those beautiful words once more. There in the sand knelt God the Son, and they left him one by one as he wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around with stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in the sand. And raising himself, he looked in her eyes. Who condemns thee now, O daughter of mine? No man, Lord, was her humble cry. And Jesus said, neither do I. He wrote love letters in the sand. Love letters in the sand. They stood around with stones in their hands while he wrote love letters in.
Well, amen. This is Pastor Cooley. We are back live with you here and just going over some of the wake-up section here on trying to get people to wake up. And Romans chapter 13 tells us, you know, it tells us to wake up. And it's high time that we awake out of sleep. You know, that we got to wake up. And that's interesting when you read the second half of Romans chapter 13, when the Bible deals with that. And it just tells you, listen, it's time for God's people to wake out of their sleep. It's high time, he says, to awake out of sleep. And amen. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Amen. And we got to do that. Now, listen, if you want to call in the program, I want to give you the number here. It's 646-915-9266. 646-915-9266. If you want to call in and maybe you disagree with me about something, or maybe you agree and you just want to add something to it, and you know, feel free to do that. That's by all means. We'd like you to call in if you have something you have a question about, or anything like that. We'd love to hear from you. Well, listen, we might just close out some of this wake up section here right now and then pick it back up here the next segment here for our study here tonight on the sons of God. We're first going to cover who the sons of God, the Genesis 6 sons of God are, but we'll talk about that in just a few minutes here. You know, interesting, this president that we have here and what's going on in our country right now, I find it fascinating because people are so deceived that they don't realize that the whole country is just in shambles, and every department and every phase of the government is in shambles. The Pentagon reports sexual assaults are up 46%. Well, let me say something about that. I'm going to tell you what I believe contributes to that. I believe when you have men and women working close together like that, you're going to have those. I believe when you drop your standards on sodomy and you allow that all to just come flooding into the military, you're going to have that. I believe that a lot of those things, and you know, that's not very popular to say today that you don't believe in women in the military. I'm sorry, I don't believe in women in the military. In that fashion to be fighting and everything else like that. I don't believe that's what God intended them to be. Obviously, I've seen the scriptures that's not what they're for. You say, oh, you're a sexist. No, I just believe the Bible. I believe the word of God, and I don't believe that a lady ought to be on a battlefield fighting with a gun next to a man. I don't believe God ever intended her to be that. You know, I don't believe that. And, you know, defend your family at home. Oh, I'm sure that that's what God, you know, God would want her to do. That's what that's a motherly instinct there. But to have her go fighting and put her around a bunch of men and, you know, have all that going on. No, that's not right. It's not right at all. And our country is paying for it right now. And we're going to pay for it even more in the time to come. It's pretty sad, really, when you look at it, just what's going on in our country right now. And, you know, a man doesn't want to see a woman shot or beat up or anything like that. It just messes with the battlefield mentality and everything else like that, I believe. I've never been in the military. I understand that. And by the way, I won't send my children to the military. You may not like that either, but I ain't sending my children to go die in the sand over in some country somewhere that hates our guts because world bankers want to play Monopoly with my children's lives as little Monopoly pawns on a game board. No, no thanks. You send your kids over there, rich guy. You send your kids over there, Mr. Billionaire Man. You send your children over there. I have no need to send my children over there to allow you to kill them and have them murdered and have them go murder other people over there. No, no thanks. And I know you may not like that. That may upset you, but, you know, that's really what I believe. And I believe scripturally that's the way God would have us to be. Anyway, so if you understand that, then you'll understand why I believe God's judgment is upon this country. I've preached a message on this, America's curse for shedding the innocent blood. And, you know, you can look at that on our sermon audio page as well. You can look that sermon up. Kind of covers that topic a little bit. Well, listen, I think we'll move right along here. And I'm kind of chomping at the bit to get into this Sons of God series and to get started with it. Looking forward to really talking about this. And I've got some friends that may call in. Brother Tino may call in. Nick is there in Michigan may call in the next hour as well. So I don't know, but this series is very important. I believe that a lot of people, and if you have your Bibles handy right there, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And, you know, why you got to preach this, preacher? What's the big deal? Why do you got to teach about this? What's the big deal about this? Well, I believe that people have taken a modernist interpretation of this and changed what the Bible really says. And I believe I'm going to prove that today with who these sons of God are. Now, if I get finished with that, then we'll actually move on to what they did and where they are now. Which is I preached that in three different messages. And tried to teach people about that in three different messages. So, amen. There's some truth there for you. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now we see these six verses here that talk about the sons of God. They talk about these sons of God. Now there's a few different theories out there. I don't believe the one theory that's being used out there today, modernist theory, that just came about really in the last couple hundred years with Schofield brought it and popularized it, that these sons of God are actually the sons of Seth. They're the godly line of Seth, they call it. You know, the godly line of Seth. Well, you know, there wasn't too much of a godly line of Seth because the only one that was left that was found righteous was Noah. But nevertheless, we believe that Scripture interprets Scripture. So we're going to look at this sons of God. We're going to look at it throughout the Old Testament and even touch on a New Testament reference to it in order to understand what the Bible is really saying about this and to rightly divide this and to be able to understand, hey, what's going on here? What's the point of this? Well, listen, we're not going to cover the giants. I have a separate series that I do on the giants. And that the giants are the offspring of these sons of God and daughters of men. You know, what I find is fascinating is that people try to make these sons of God the godly line of Seth, and apparently if godly people and ungodly people procreate, then out comes the jolly green giant. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen because lost people and saved people time procreate, and yeah, they might make some devils, but they certainly don't make some giants. That doesn't really happen. So, and you might say, well, it was different back then. Well, you're going to have to prove with the Scriptures that it was different. No, something special took place here. Something different took place here. And I want to tell you that it was a satanic working. It was of the devil. It was of the spirits, the false spirits is what it was of. And the unclean spirits are the fallen angels, and we're going to get to that, and I'm going to prove that to you here with the Scriptures. I can't make you believe it, but I can sure show you what the Bible says about it. So just so we understand, there's a distinction that's made here. He says, sons of God, daughters of men. Well, why doesn't he mention any daughters of God? Why weren't there any daughters of God mentioned? Why weren't there any sons of men mentioned, things like that? Why weren't any of those things done? Well, because he's giving you a simple contrast here. He's telling you exactly what happened here. And if you'll read the Scriptures and not come at it with a private interpretation, but just look at what it says, we've got to start looking at the Scriptures for what they say. And not what we want them to say or what we've been taught, but what does the Bible say plainly? Here's what we see here. We see in his word explains some things. He explains that, you know, if this was something that was normal, then why would he mention that, hey, some people got married and had babies? No, this was an abnormal situation. This was something that brought the judgment of God down on this earth. Now, man's sin brought judgment, but the devils helped him too. These fallen angels, they helped him. And so understand that. We'll get to talking about that in a little while. But what we're going to define here today is who these sons of God are. That's what we're going to do right now. That's the need of the hour right now. To look at that. So we're going to look in the Scriptures at every reference that speaks of the sons of God. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And I think you'll find it interesting. Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Now, does anybody believe that the sons of Seth just ascended up to heaven and stood before God and presented themselves before God with Satan with them? Satan just said he was walking up and down in the earth, to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. So he's not in the earth. God said, where you been? What are you doing? And he said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Huh. So he is presenting himself before the throne of God in heaven, and the sons of God are presenting themselves with him. So again, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that's what we see. In these verses, we see that they appeared to him. Now, does anyone really want to make the case and try to say, well, it was the godly line of Seth that ascended up to heaven, and they stood before God? Well, where do you find that in the King James Bible anywhere, that godly men were able to ascend to heaven? The only one that was translated was Enoch. Now, others came in a chariot and some other things, but we understand that men didn't just walk up to heaven and say, hey, I think I'll visit with God for a little while, present myself before God. No, these were angels that were called to stand before God. And we see Satan appearing with them, with the sons of God. Do we believe it's possible to do that as a human? No. All right, let's look at another reference. Turn to Job chapter 2 in your Bible. Job chapter 2 in verse number 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? So what's going on with this verse? Same thing that's going on with the first one. By the way, the Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Think about that for a minute. There's two witnesses here. And again, we see, though, that these sons of God are back presenting themselves before the Lord. They're presenting themselves, God saying, hey, what have you been up to? They're reporting. And then Satan also came with him. He said, I think I'll go up. Why? Why the privilege? I can still do that. I can still stand before God. So I'll just do that right now, and I'll come up. Now, we understand that no man can come up. We know what our body is, and we know what their bodies are. Scripture talks about that. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We can't do that, friend. But they can enter our realm and be guardians. They can enter from that fourth dimension to come in and out. They can do that, but we can't. They're called this because God is the Father of creation. They're called the sons of God because God is the Father of them. God created them. He created them. Now, turn your Bibles to Job chapter 38 and verse number 4. Job 38, verse number 4. Look at the scriptures there. Another reference to sons of God, who these sons of God are in Genesis 6. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, God is talking to Job. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon, or the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know, stars in the Bible are like angels and stars in the Bible. You see those interchangeably used in the scriptures many times. Do a word study on stars. Do a word study there and find out what you come up with. In the King James Bible, that is, if you use another one, it won't make sense. The Bible says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, we weren't there when he laid the foundations of the earth, because he just told Job, you weren't there. You didn't see the foundations of the earth being laid. No man saw the foundations of the earth being laid, but the angels, they saw the foundations of the earth being laid. The sons of God saw the foundations of the earth being laid. They saw it. They were there. And they sang for joy. God's saying this to reprove Job. He's saying, where were you, O flesh and blood man? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Amen. These were angels that shouted for joy. Many believe the angels were created when the stars were created on that same day. Many believe it was day four that they were created. I'm not going to argue that point at all. But many believe that. That there's something about that number four in Scripture, but I don't have time to expound on that. But Pastor Mike Hoggard has some great teachings on that number four and things of that nature. In his biblical numerics series that he has, you can look him up online as well. But anyway, angels are compared to stars in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible says this: "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest of the seven churches. Now, I've had some preachers tell me before, well, these seven stars, these angels are pastors. He didn't call them pastors of churches. He called them angels. Now, I had a few people tell me I was an idiot because I believed they were angels. But if you could read real slowly, I'll read that to you again. It says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches." Now, I'm not prepared to draw any more on that and say, well, hey, then every church has an angel of this. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just telling you what he said in the Scriptures right there. I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. That's all I'm doing. I'm giving you the Bible, and I'm saying you read it for what it says. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 13, we find the sons of God likened unto stars as well. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." He's going to exalt himself above the angels and the stars and everything else. "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north." Then we find in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 4, we find a different study, or we find the same thing there. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child, as soon as it was born." The third part of the stars of heaven are angels. They're the stars of heaven. That they drew, that Satan drew down. It's amazing when you start to study this out. In Revelation 12:9, we see another one. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So that's the dragon that drew the stars. Remember, he says he drew the stars, the third part of the stars of heaven. That same dragon, he's cast out, so it's likening him to stars. Sons of God, the stars here. For the earnest, now, the reason I'm making this link is because in Job chapter 38, he says, "When all the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Sons of God, stars. Sons of God in the Old Testament, all the way through there. For the earnest, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 19, the Bible talks about, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." What does that mean? Brethren, you and I we are sons of God by salvation, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But we don't appear like that until we see him and he makes us new. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." It says it right here. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to look like them. Amen. We're going to look like them. Bible also says I Jesus have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We're going to be like those stars one day. We're going to look like that. One day we're going to be perfected. We're going to have that. We're going to be manifested the sons of God. Right now we're not, but we will be one day. I like this reference. I want this, maybe this will help tie it up together for you. Maybe it'll help to put it all together here for you and make it make some sense to you here. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 28 through 30. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? Shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. What does that mean? You're going to be just like them. You're going to be just like them in heaven. You're going to be manifested just like they are. In John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Power to become the sons of God. Right now we are the sons of God as saved, born again people. But we have the power to become that. We will be manifested into that one day. God will make us like that one day. He'll give us that perfect body one day like they have. And there'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no sin there. He'll make us perfect. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you. What I'm saying here, stars, sons of God. And even in the New Testament, it says, yes, we are the sons of God, but we are not what we will be when we see him. We see through a glass darkly, but when we look at him, we see perfection. When we see him, we'll be like him, the Bible says. We'll be just like Jesus Christ, perfected by the grace and mercy of Almighty God and by the power of God, we'll be perfected. But each group that is called the sons of God were created directly by God. That's why they're called the sons of God. When we talk about born-again believers, why? Because God made us the sons of God. He made us that way by salvation, by grace through faith. He made the angels that way. That's why they're called the sons of God in portions of Scripture. Adam was formed by God. The angels were created by God. The child of God is born again by the Spirit of God and will one day manifest that likeness just like him. They were not born again in the Old Testament like we are in the New Testament. They waited in paradise. They waited in Abraham's bosom. They waited for Christ to shed his blood and lead captivity captive and give gifts unto men. Look at that in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll continue this when we come back here. We've got a song for you. I got to go to break. We got a song here called The Old Rugged Cross. Amen. I know you know that one, The Old Rugged Cross. Listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross.
Last I lay down. Lord was near death when he gave this cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Think of the tremendous love and devotion that our Lord had in suffering such shame and such agony as he was on that old rugged cross.
We'll exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down.
About the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, and we're going through the scriptures and just trying to teach from the Word of God here and try to explain to you exactly who these sons of God were and why it matters so much. We're not even touching on why it matters. That may be another time that we really touch on that, but what we've been talking about is who these sons of God are and why is it important. I will tell you this, though, that a lot of spiritual lessons are here in this, and if you don't understand it, you miss a lot of the spiritual warfare that's in the scriptures. For instance, if you understand who these sons of God are, then you'll start to understand why God destroyed. God had them destroy all the giants and others in Canaan. Why he had them wipe out civilization, so to speak, there, and wipe out, because these were not exactly what you might, and we'll talk about that, maybe, we might not get to that this week, but maybe next week we'll talk about that. It's an amazing study, and it'll teach you a lot if you'll listen, you know, if you'll study and take the scriptures, and you study them yourself. I don't want you to just believe what I say, but as you notice, I'm just going through the Bible. That's all I'm doing. If you want to call in, give us a call at 646-915-9266. 646-915-9266. Give us a call there if you'd like to if you have something you'd like to add to the program. We'd be more than happy to let you, call in and we'll talk about it for sure. I'd love to do that with you and explain some things to you. Would be fine. All right, now listen, let's continue on in our study here. When we ended here before the break, we talked about the Old Testament and these sons of God and how that we're manifested the sons of God. We will be manifested one day as the sons of God when we see Jesus Christ. But here what we see, the Old Testament saints, they waited. They waited in paradise or in Abraham's bosom. There's a lot of different references that people use for that. But they waited there to lead until Christ shed his blood and to lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. In John chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Anyone want to argue the fact and try to say that Old Testament saints were born saved and sons of God and needed no redemption? No, it says we have to be born of God. It says we have to be. The New Testament sons of God are adopted into the family of God. We are adopted into the family of God through salvation by Jesus Christ. We can't say that, well, the Old Testament sons of God by heredity, they were automatically sons of God. Well, that's ridiculous. if you're calling them human beings or regular men, then what you're saying is that, well, they were already adopted the sons of God, or they were already the sons of God by nature of their bloodline. No, that's ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous. That's not even an accurate argument. It's kind of a foolish argument. The Old Testament sons of God were angels. They were angels. The New Testament sons of God are adopted of the family of God, waiting for that redemption with their bodies to be redeemed and made new. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans chapter 8, verse number 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So we understand that we have that, but we're not manifested the sons of God yet. We're not manifested in that perfect body like they are in heaven, like the angels in heaven are. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." We also be glorified together. Clearly, we're adopted to the family of God, and we become sons of God. But they were created sons of God by the Father of creation, by God Almighty. They were created that. And you know, I like this reference in Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Interesting. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was looking at this saying, boy, that's like the Son of God. Look at him in the fire there. Why? Well, because he had a body that was not damaged by the flames. He was manifested with that heavenly body, and he had it like the sons of God. So he looked at that, and he saw that, and that was his response to that. That was his response. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. When you study the scriptures, Jesus Christ himself, coming in the form of an angel, the Lord, came to deliver them from that fiery furnace. But he came in that body, and Nebuchadnezzar saw that and said, man, that's God right there. Or that's the Son of God right there. Why? Because of the way he came. He looked at his body. He looked at the way he was, how the flames didn't hurt him. Nebuchadnezzar knew something was different about him. Nebuchadnezzar understood that that was a fourth dimensional body that he had. It wasn't trapped in the flesh. It wasn't a body that was, you know, trapped in the flesh. So amazing when you start looking at that. But when you see the references to the sons of God, it's very hard to argue who the sons of God were. Everywhere in the Old Testament is a reference to what? It's a reference to angels. It's a reference to angels everywhere in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Bible gives reference to us being manifested the sons of God. We're adopted. Why? Because he's our Father, just like he's their Father. He created the angels in that sense. Now, understand that he says this day have I begotten thee. We understand that he calls them, he called Noah his son, is adopted, or his son, and directly like Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. And we understand that. He is the Son of God. But the manifested sons of God, when the angels came, they manifest themselves in a specific body. We're going to have that body one day. We're going to be like that one day. We're going to have that perfected body, I should say, one day. So I believe from Scripture, I believe that these sons of God, I believe that they are speaking of fallen, they're speaking of angels. They're speaking of fallen angels in this case because they did something that they shouldn't have done. And we're going to look at that in the scriptures and see what in the world did these sons of God do that made God so upset. I mean, God hasn't destroyed the earth or gotten violently angry like that and caused that, pronounced that terrible judgment for a lost person marrying a saved person, you know, which is the argument that was made. Or I've heard made before that, oh, these are the sons of Seth. By the way, that's a new argument that Schofield made in his notes. I believe it was Schofield. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive that Schofield said that in his notes, that, hey, these are the sons of God, and that's just the godly line of Seth, and that's what that is. And, you know, I disagree with him, you know, vehemently on that. because I believe he's wrong. I believe he's dead wrong. Now, let's move on here. We've got some more time here, and we're going to move on to the next portion. We won't be able to cover all of this this series tonight, but we will get into a good portion of it because I got a lot of time here. And again, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to call into the program. If you have something that you want to say or a question you have, the number is 646-915-9266. Again, we read in the scriptures that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. In those days, there were giants. In the days that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Bible says that there were giants in the earth in those days, and it says, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, men of old, men of renown. You know, that mighty word, I'm not a Greek scholar, or I don't need the Greek to prove anything, but I find it fascinating that word, because I'm going to use all King James here, but that word mighty means gibor. That word gibor is another word for giant as well, which is kind of neat. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. I want you to use just straight English to prove this. I'm just telling you what that word is meaning. You can see in other portions of Scripture, which I might get to in this study tonight. I'm not sure. But anyway, or that actually that might be the giant study that we do that in. Anyway, but yes, it is actually, and I'll cover that. I just remembered where that was at, and we'll cover that in the giants study. But anyway, moving along here, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And then it says, and God saw the wicked, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. On a side note, I see the repentance of the Lord here. And it says here that he made, and it grieved him at his heart. There was some grief along with his repentance. Isn't that something? There was some grief along with that repentance. That's a good lesson to understand and just take it to heart there. God commanded all men everywhere, has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Anyway. So what did these angels do? We've already discovered and studied out, and I believe it's very crystal clear who they are. That these fallen angels, these are fallen angels. We're going to look at the scriptures and see, well, who are these guys and what did they do here? We know they're the sons of God. Well, what did they do? They came in under the daughters of men. The Bible clearly says that these sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them wives of all which they chose. So the Bible is clear that these angels, or these sons of God, which in Hebrew is the word Nephilim, or fallen ones, took women and wives and had children with them. Say, wait a minute, preacher, what about Jesus said his message in the New Testament? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because turn over to Mark chapter 12, verse number 25. He says, For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, I want to ask you something. I want you to stop for a second. I want you to think about something here with me. Does every word of the Bible matter? If he just stopped and says, now, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God, period. Uh-oh. Well, then now I have a problem. Because these sons of God could not be fallen angels then, because fallen angels aren't given in marriage or anything else, so that couldn't be them. But he doesn't stop with fallen angels, or he doesn't stop with as the angels of God. There's two more words there that you must consider. In heaven. In heaven, you're not gonna be married either. In heaven. Luke chapter 20, verse number 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. See, some of these angels in heaven, and when they pass over to that side, they're not going to do that anymore. They're not going to be given in that. Why? Neither the angels that were there. But see, something happened with these angels, these sons of God. Something happened with them. What happened with them? We're going to find out what they did. In every single reference, he says that the angels in heaven do not marry or are not given in marriage. That's what he says. He says, in heaven, those that have their estate in heaven. Now, so what happened to these angels or sons of God? Here, does it contradict the scripture? No, it only cements the teaching of the scriptures. Because Jude says in verse number 6 of his chapter there, it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So what is their own habitation? What is the angels' own habitation? It's with God in heaven. That's where they habitate. In that dimension, they left it. What did they leave it for? Well, it says in Genesis chapter 6 what they left it for. Genesis chapter 6, they left it for women. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair to look upon. They saw that they chose them all. They chose them wives of all which they chose, whatever the Bible says here. You read the text in Genesis chapter 6. I'm just paraphrasing there, but read what it says. So he says here that, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath received in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. That's the day of the Lord. In verse number 7, he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Uh-oh. He says these angels left their first estate. Well, what were they guilty of? Well, they left their first estate, and they're even as Sodom and Gomorrah. What was one of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah? One of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was going after strange flesh. Look at what he says. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Okay, so let me get this straight. There were a group of angels that left their first estate, and those angels are even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. So these angels fornicated. Yes, they did. And going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It's very clear here, and it states here, that these were angels that left their first estate. They're angelical beings in the heavens and the servants of God to come to earth. And it says also that these angels that kept out, they were even as Sodom and Gomorrah, in like manner, the same way. Strange flesh to a man is another man, or it could be another. It could be a strange woman or something. The Bible talks about the strange woman. But strange flesh in this case is another man. Strange flesh to an angel would be a woman. Fornication would be for an angel to leave his first estate and to fornicate with the daughters of men. They left their own celestial habitation to fornicate with women. Can I say something to you for a second here? God really hates fornication. God hates spiritual fornication, and God hates physical fornication. God hates it. He hates fornication, and he judges it very swiftly. Whether that fornication is a man that is deep into pornography, porneia, whether he is into, fornicating out of wedlock or adultery or any of those things, God hates it. He hates it with a passion, and he judges it with a passion. And God judged these angels, just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. I'll give you a chance to get there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, and making them an ensample to those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. These angels are these sons of God here. They sinned. These angels right here, they are again likened to that Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think that's a coincidence? Or do you believe what the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established? He is giving you a second witness. Well, there's more than that in the scriptures. But in this case, in the New Testament, he's giving you a second witness of what happened. Do you think it's a coincidence that both of that this is around the time of Noah? Do you think that that's a coincidence? Do you think that's strange? That he mentions Noah here, and he mentions the flood, and he mentions what happened, the judgment that God had mentioned in the scriptures? You think that's an accident? No. Genesis 6, God says these sons of God came in. He said the wickedness of man was great in the earth. He said that he was going to judge that wickedness. Listen, we got a caller online, a friend of mine, Mike Corbo, brother Mike Corbo he's a friend of mine on Facebook and a personal friend. We talk on the phone all the time. Brother Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. I'm doing real good. I'm sorry I didn't get a hold of you earlier. The phone wasn't working right. I don't know. So this is always an interesting topic, huh?
Amen, brother. It's an absolutely interesting topic, and I know you've done a lot of studying on that. And I've had you on. I had you on that first show we tried to do on this, and man, phone problems there, and I had all those problems getting knocked off and everything. And it's funny now you've had problems getting on here tonight, and it's just amazing how that happens. Seems like when we start touching this topic, brother, how important is this? Let me ask you a question. You've done a lot of studying on the spirit world, a lot of studying on the occult and Masonic stuff, and all of those things. How important is it to understand that these sons of God and daughters of men?
I think. Well, as far as salvation is concerned, I'm not really sure how important it is to understand that, but to understand the reasoning, at least in part, to why God does what he did, say, destroying the earth the first time, having the bloodline of Jesus Christ, having the potential of that being mixed with something evil or angelic, where that is the reason why he destroyed the earth the first time. And it's also the cause of why God said to destroy the tribes that were in the land of Canaan, why God said not to mix with the sons of Canaan. You have these bloodlines that go through history, and you can see that they were a priestly class throughout history, in Malta, in South America, in Egypt. You'll see these elongated skulls, okay, that they've dug up archaeological digging, and you'll see that people had tried to mimic them by putting flattening boards on their heads. So they had sway in culture, okay, and they lorded over people. And so... I can't say that it has a lot to do with your salvation, your eternal destiny. Of course, Jesus Christ is the reason for that. But these things did have a big factor and a big play in history, and understanding why people did what they did when they did it in the past. But you know what, Jay? Can I ask you this? This is something I wanted to say. What do you think is the potential for any future interactions with this? In the book of Daniel, when it says, doesn't it say something about in the final kingdom, you'll have iron mixed with miry clay? Now,
absolutely.
What are we seeing there that we have the potential of these creatures coming back and trying to fool us into something?
Well, I think you have a great – the Bible talks about that strong delusion that will come in these end times. It talks about the Bible gives reference of this fourth kingdom that will arise that will be mightier than any other kingdom. And it does talk about clay, which is humans, and the iron mixed with it. And they will mingle themselves with man. And that number four is a spirit. It has to do with the spirit that we see in Ephesians. We see the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. So we understand that this final kingdom that's to come to the earth is a spiritual kingdom. It is the way the Antichrist, this iron mixed with clay, I believe is the way the Antichrist is coming. I believe
Amen.
That. I believe that God showed us in Genesis chapter 6 what happened. He left a record as an eternal word about it. He gave a vision to Daniel about it and explained to Daniel, this is what's going to happen. And, I believe times are coming when literally all hell's going to break loose on this earth. That is used so loosely. But, yeah, I do believe that that's going to be what. And when you see everything going on today with DNA, I just seen an article today about scientists saying, man, we figured it out. We got it figured out how we can create DNA or we can mimic DNA without having any flaws in the bloodline or something, or we can work out the cancer and we can develop it, we can create that DNA or mimic that DNA or work with it or whatever, genetically alter that DNA. That's what it's
right.
always been about. That is what it's
right.
always been about. That's what
yeah,
Genesis
exactly.
chapter 6 is about. Go ahead, brother.
Transhumanism. There's a huge transhumanism movement that's about, and they keep trying to focus on making the Ubermensch or Superman. And that's what Hitler had tried to do. That's what Napoleon had tried to do. You see all these empires that have risen, they all gravitate towards Egyptology. They all gravitate towards Babylon. They gravitate towards the ancient mystery schools. Alchemy, obviously, being a lie, saying that you can turn lead into gold, and that's really turning humans into demigods or godlike
that's
beings.
It. That's it. That's exactly. That's exactly what it is, brother. That's the importance of this topic. And we may not even, we can keep going down this line because I'm excited about this. I like talking about this. It really is amazing to do. And we'll, we've got 1 minute to the break, brother. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you hang on to the break? I want to pick up that thought. We got about a minute to go here before we go into a break. But boy, time flies by fast when you're having fun. Amen.
Amen.
And it's just amazing to see. Well, listen, we're about ready to play a song here as we go to break, and it's Amazing Grace, a good old-fashioned scriptural hymn there, Amazing Grace. And you listen to this, and we'll be right back.
How sweet the sound.
I once was lost, but now
All right, we are back live, and we are talking about the sons of God and just really the impact of this, what the impact of this really is. And of course, we understand that, you know, once a man is saved, he's born again by the Spirit of God. That's Jesus Christ and his shed blood, turning to him and trusting him by faith, believing the gospel, repenting and being born again by the Spirit of God. We understand that's what saves a man. But, you know, this topic is important to understand, this Genesis chapter 6, because, you know, it's coming around again. It's going to be attempted again. It's always been about the bloodline. You say, I don't know, come on, you guys are just, really? Well, if you look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, now listen, I am not one of those guys that believes that Satan and, you know, Eve got together and had a baby and it was Cain. I don't believe that because the Bible doesn't say that. So I only go by what the Bible says. Now, what I do believe is the Bible says that Satan has a seed. He says that he will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And that's the truth. That's what the scriptures say. And that God would put enmity between them. So understand that. Understand the truth of that. And there's a seed of Satan that has always tried to come in there. Satan's a master mimicker. He's going to try to mimic the virgin birth somehow. I don't know what's going to happen. I believe he's going to try that. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I know there's going to be many lying signs and wonders. I know that. And I know this impacts the future because that fourth kingdom is going to be a kingdom that is the iron mixed with the clay. The iron always establishes that spirit rule, that spirit work. Bible says that the Lord will rule with a rod of iron as well. So, Brother Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening. Very interesting.
All right, good. So, I mean, you know, as you look at this and you study this, what you're going to realize is that this is a bigger impact than what you might imagine. This will, if you understand this in Scripture, a lot to you in the Bible, you'll be able to explain to people why God destroyed. Like Brother Mike said, you'll be able to explain to people, why did God destroy? Why did God tell them to wipe all of them out? Because they're offspring. You know, we're not going to really talk a lot about the giants tonight because I'm going to do another show on giants. But if you look at the giants, they weren't exactly human. And they were never called good. Nothing about them, Brother Mike, nothing about them was ever good, the giants. There's never been a good giant.
No, there hasn't ever been a good giant. As a matter of fact, God says to destroy them, utterly destroy all of them. That's what God had done during the flood, and then at a later time, and I believe, there's multiple theories out there, but I believe that one of Noah's daughters-in-law had the genetic material for these Nephilim that she carried across the flood when she mixed with Ham and through Canaan, and that's where the second incursion had come from. I don't believe that angels came down a second time. It doesn't say that. It says that the angels were chained, the ones that had messed around, and I think that pretty much got the point across to any of the other ones. You don't try to make a phony Messiah. And that's what these Nephilim basically were. I mean, Jesus Christ is a mixture of spiritual being, God, the Holy Spirit, and man, and Mary. Well, these angels try to make a second Messiah by mixing themselves, spiritual beings, with a human. And that is kind of something that God pounced on. You know, that's not something that he's going to wait it out and then punish you later. That was unacceptable. And I think that's Satan's ace. That's Satan's ace card that he's saving for the very, very, very end.
I believe that, but I have a slight disagreement with you on as far as the wife of Cain goes, or the wife of Noah's son, or whatever, and a few things like that. But I do believe possibly there was a second incursion. I believe that's what "and also after that" means. But you know, regardless, it doesn't really matter because we don't have it rock solid. The Bible doesn't say either of those theories are exact, where we can prove that exactly 100%. So again, it's fine. We can disagree about that. It's not that big of a deal. from that standpoint to me. I just enjoy talking about it and looking at the scriptures and trying to understand it, amen. It's a blessing to be able to understand what God has just laid out there for us to understand, and that's the fact that this is going to come around again. So let's talk about here. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Can I ask you your opinion? What have you ever read or listened to anything by a Stephen Quayle?
I have. I do have Stephen Quayle's book, his Genesis 6 Giants book. I do have that. That is an interesting book.
Okay. I have this book right here on genetic Armageddon. So that's why I was asking if you wouldn't mind me mentioning that. This is an interesting book. This here is an interesting book. It goes, it doesn't go into the giants per se, but it goes into the Übermensch or the Superman. Speaking about how Hitler was chasing after this legacy and, how scientists today are disappearing. You can go on, various websites and find lists of at least 100, notable biologists, scientists who have just mysteriously died, been murdered or suicided, you know, because of their work. And then there's nanotechnology that they have, and trying to rebuild a Methuselah because, you know, they're looking for a way to make you live forever. The Bible says that men will seek death and they will not be able to find it. So they're trying to make it so that we can, or people, the chosen elect people can live forever. They're going to turn off the genetic code that causes death in cells. Anyways, it's a very interesting book, and it goes on to some other topics, too, and I wanted to plug that because I thought it was interesting, you know, as far as the
subject. I think it's fascinating, brother. When you start to look at this, I mean, there's evidence all over that something is, you know, there's things that are being hidden, and obviously we know when we find these giants. We find some giants, and then we find some big giants that they found out there. I mean, big ones. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
And it seems like time and time again throughout history, you have institutions that collect these bones up, and then they somehow mysteriously lose them. So there's no visible recorded evidence of this stuff. You have to really dig and really look hard. There's not like a museum. You'd think there would be a museum because Josephus even speaks of the bones of the Nephilim that are outside of the temple in Israel. So it is in recorded history that these things are there outside of the Bible themselves. And then you have giants written about in all cultures. All cultures had stories about giants. But there's something Satan does not want us to know, this part about the world's history, for some reason, because I believe that they're going to use a possible alien invasion or some kind of crazy thing like that. Because when they get thrown out of heaven, and Satan is thrown out of heaven, they're going to only have one place to go, and that's here. And they got to have a pretty good reason for showing up.
Yeah, they're going to be mad as hell, too. That's exactly what they're going to be when they come. And it's going to be some chaotic, bad stuff going on here. And I believe that what the Bible is showing us is that, listen, Cain, these sons of God, they left their first estate, and what did they do? Well, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 4 says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great. What did they do? They had unions. They made unions with women, and they had giant babies as a result of that. These children were giants, giants can be found all over the Word of God. I'm going to preach a series on giants. I have preached it's online, but I'm going to teach through it on this program here in the weeks to come here and kind of cover that and really give people an understanding of who the giants are and what they come from and where they came from. But we see giants are found all over. We see Og, king of Bashan. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters born of them, we see the scripture that the Bible talks about, that God said his spirit would not always strive with man. He said that he wasn't always going to strive with them. He was going to be done with them. And these Nephilim were different, or these giants that were out there, they were different than a normal man, brother. We see all over the records. I would invite everybody, let me find this, pull this page up. I want to pull this, this Facebook page up here. And I think if you haven't liked this Facebook page, I know you have, brother, but somebody should like this Facebook page if you haven't yet. Stone Builders, Mound Builders, and the Giants of Ancient America.
Amen.
Fascinating information. Fascinating. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't even have time to go into all of it, but it's just awesome because when you see the Mound Builders, what they built, and when you see the architecture that went into it, and when you see the measurements and everything and the way that they did that, it was above the pay grade of a normal man, Brother Mike.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It is a fascinating. It also goes into the elongated skulls and the people groups that were there. And
pyramids.
Oh, the ancient technology that they had. It's interesting. In ancient Sumer, they speak of the Anunnaki, and they always throw that up on the History Channel. Not that I watch the History Channel. I don't even have cable. But, you know, from what I've heard. And you start off in school learning. I'm jumping around here, but I'm going to get to the point. You start off in school learning about ancient history and ancient cultures, but where do you start? Maybe you start in Greece, then you go to Rome. Do you ever go to Babylon? Do you ever go to before Babylon? Where did Babylon get their gods that the Greeks copied, that the Romans copied? Babylon got their gods from ancient Sumer, which was in and around the time of Job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these Anunnaki, these watchers, these fallen angels came down and they taught everybody certain things, war, genetic manipulation, all sorts of things that they were teaching the people in addition to creating giants at that time. But there it is in ancient secular history, and yet schools will not address that. They'll jump several thousand years in advance of that and then pick it up from there. So school children graduate from a government school not realizing, you know, we went from caveman, this is what they're taught, that we went from caveman to ancient Greeks, and there was kind of nothing in between, you know, and that's absolutely not true. God had given Adam and Eve intelligence, their children had intelligence, they had culture, they had music, they had farming, agriculture, they had the ability to build cities, so they had plumbing, there were doctors, there are all kinds of things. We didn't have knuckle draggers in the field, and then we go to ancient Greece. You have even these Nephilim tribes, well, they'll be called Neanderthals. You can look, and when they dig up the bones of a Nephilim, they'll say, oh, well, it was Neanderthal man, it was a subspecies of human, it wasn't really a human, because their DNA doesn't match, but it's close to it. And then they'll say that they were cavemen, you know, this ooga booga kind of thing. But when you look at the culture of these Nephilim tribes that lived near humans, they too had an established agricultural society, doctor, and a family setup. These creatures were not just simple cavemen who went out and whacked something on the head and came back and dragged it back and ate it raw. They had their own culture and their own civilization also, such as Og of Bashan and all of the Zamzumins and all these other Nephilim tribes. They were highly cultured people and very intelligent.
Absolutely. When you see how the buildings and the things that they built, the structures and everything and the way that they did it, it was way past what we could even do. We didn't even know how to figure it out. We couldn't build what they built. A lot of the things that they did, we can't even do now with what we have. I mean, who could move the rock and everything that it took to build the pyramids and everything else like that? All of that stuff. It just doesn't happen like that. And I know we're starting here with Genesis chapter 6 here, and there's just so much that this is a springboard to, brother.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It really is a springboard into the whole reason for the flood being damaged and a lot of history and culture, the wars that were going on. I believe that the wars of the five kings that attacked Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe they were giants. And I believe that Abraham went up against those giants and conquered them and brought them back and gave thanks to Melchizedek. And if you look at the tribes that these people came from, and you follow the bloodlines and the genealogy, you see that they came from Ham, and they were, in fact, Nephilim tribes.
Yeah, it's an amazing study. When you look at this, when you look at these sons, but you know, the first understanding people have to have, and we've got a few minutes left on the program here, about 12 minutes it looks like, and not trying to finish this series at all. We're just going to pick it back up next week, so I'm not in any hurry to do this or anything like that. I just find it fascinating. I just kind of want to expound a little bit here and explain what we're going to talk about in this series here. We're going to talk about these sons of God. We're going to talk about, obviously, the giants that came from them, the giant offspring that came from them. We're also going to discuss...
Hey, I think Pastor Jason went and dropped out. So until he gets back up here, I'm going to say that.
All right, Brother Mike, are you there, Brother Mike?
Dad, take over.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that. You had to do that last time, too. Every time you and I get together, man, something happens.
That is crazy, isn't it?
It's that prince of the power of the air that now worketh there, brother. He's out there doing his job that he believes he has to do to try to stop this truth from coming out. And I'll tell you, every time I try to preach on this, something crazy happens. But we press on in the Lord and just trust him for the work that he's going to do. But anyway, we're going to look at these sons of God, and we're going to look at what they did. And also, we're going to talk about next week where the Bible even talks about what they were charged with. There's a charge that God gave against them in the scriptures. And he says that he charged them with something, and then he puts them in, then he judged them, he charged them, he judged them, and they're in a holding cell awaiting the final judgment.
Amen.
And that all of that is in the scriptures, and we're going to bring that out. Then, if we have more time next week, we'll even start into their offspring. We'll start talking about the giants. But maybe not. I don't know yet how we're going to do this. We might touch on the giants and get into this. It kind of gets into this DNA, you know, and a lot of that factors in. Daniel chapter 2 factors into that. Boy, it's amazing. All of it kind of just comes together, brother.
Amen. Amen, it does. So once you start to see that, once you open your eyes, the Lord opens your eyes to the truth around you, it just all starts to get clearer. I understand we see through a glass darkly, and we'll never understand the whole complete truth until after we have our glorified bodies. But it is just so fascinating to see. You can read your Bible cover to cover and never get it. Each time you get into it, you learn more and more and more, and just getting into this is so fascinating. It really is.
It is, and I hope people will listen and study the scriptures and go through there, you know, and really look at these things and check out what God has for them here, the spiritual lessons that are here. I mean, we're going to look in the weeks to come, we're going to look at Og, king of Bashan, we're going to look at all the giants in the Old Testament and what the Bible says about them. I've got a portion of that study, brother, that goes through giants in history. And talks about the giants that has been seen in history and the record of giants. Exciting, and you know what this is all about and what it's gonna lead up to in the end here. Fascinating, important study to understand the spiritual aspects of things. If you want to grow spiritually and understand the scriptures better, understanding who these sons of God are, you know, I never could embrace that the sons of God were the sons of Seth, brother Mike. I couldn't. It didn't make any sense.
No, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry that, you know, the churches that I have gone to, God bless them, you know, people are getting saved out of them, but they kind of glaze over that subject completely, you know. And you know what? Why doesn't the creation... the creation museum, and you have these people come out and they speak about dinosaur bones and things like that. but they kind of glaze over that subject also. People say, well, why did God send the flood? Oh, because everybody was bad and wicked. Well, everybody's bad and wicked now, you know. What was the purpose of destroying every living creature on earth? Because God said all of it was corrupted. All flesh was corrupted on earth. But that's a key thing. And what was it corrupted with? We don't give these people the credit that they deserve. They may have been more intelligent than us. I don't know. I honestly don't believe they were less intelligent than us. We don't even know what kind of technology they had, what kind of engineering they used. They use things that we don't even have the fathom, the understanding of. Vibration of sound, ultrasounds, magnetics, and harnessing the solar, the sun, the wind, all kinds of engineering that you can use to generate power instead of just fossil fuels.
Hey, Ben, that's right. Speaking of creations, I don't know if Tino has time to call in, but, man, if he could call in the next minute or so, he could maybe answer that question for us, because Tino has just started his creation ministries, where he's going out, actually, and preaching in churches. He preached at my church, and, hey, guess what he preached on? And guess what he taught on? Giants. He taught on giants in the Bible. And, you know, that was a blessing that he did that. That he taught on that, because most creationists won't even touch that. They don't like to talk about that too much.
No, they don't. I try to do a Sunday school, you know, every couple of weeks at my church, and I think I would get thrown out on my ear if I ever tried touching that subject. I mean, you're allowed to do David, you're allowed to do Goliath, but you kind of just have to assume that Goliath was around 8 feet tall, just, you know, super big. He wasn't really a giant, you know. But God says they were giant. God says they were grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, when the spies went in, these things were huge, huge creatures they were.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the whole point. I don't know why creationists don't do that. I'm not sure why they like to. I think maybe they're scared of looking kooky, maybe. Maybe they're scared of that. I don't know. You know, that's a good question to ask Brother Tino. Maybe he can come on the program and talk about that sometime, maybe during this series or whatever. I don't, we've got a few minutes left here in the program. I don't know if he has time to call in, but I mean, if we could, we'd ask. That would be a good question to talk to him about, because I'd like to know the answer to that as well.
Amen.
I think people are scared to talk about things like that. I think some of these creationists don't want to be seen as out of the box. You know, they're trying to look for normalcy. I think you're seeing that with Creation Ministries, or Ken Hovind's son. I think you're seeing that where he doesn't want to say too much outside of the box. It's going to offend people. That's going to, you know, rub people the wrong way in order to get the funds and everything else. And where his dad was completely the opposite.
Right. Amen. That is a big part of it. And also a big part of it is that it has been so successfully been suppressed throughout history. You know, you and I can find places. You gave a good website. You know, but just for the regular person going to a government school or going to a government college, they're not going to see an evidence. They're not going to walk into any. There's excellent museums here in Philadelphia area, and I've been to them. There's very little, if any, inclination at all about a giant. Possibly they'll touch on it in a mythological sense, but you don't see the archaeological evidence for these things. It's been collected, it's been dumped out in the ocean, and there's an effort to make sure that that information is suppressed. So it only does look crazy to the regular. If you walk up to anybody in the street and ask them about giants, oh, pretty giant. That's it. That's the only giant they know about. You know, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the Green Giant. I mean, these things are mythological. Jack and the Beanstalk, there was no such thing as giants. What there was, where's the proof? Where are the bones? Where is it? Oh, that can't be true. You know, but it's not taught. It's not shown. It's not accepted. So the average person, when you're trying to gather up a church, trying to start a church, trying to get people to come out and get saved, you know, you're not focusing on the giants, because honestly, you know, where is the salvation issue with the giants? You know, well, there's going to be a salvation issue. And when it comes time for the great delusion, you know, the great deception, when these things come down and start mixing, it's going to be a problem. You know, because people are going to think they're going to be raptured up out of this mess before anything bad happens to them, and this happens, this comes to their face, they're going to be shocked and surprised.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. That's why this topic is important, to get the truth out there, explain it, talk to, because of that future kingdom. Maybe we'll do just a show 1 week here on just on why this is so important, and really talk about that future fourth kingdom. I've touched on it with aliens and another few things, but maybe we'll kind of do something on that to share with folks the real importance of this, looking into the past to be prepared for the future here, and what the Lord says is prophecy in the book of Daniel here.
Amen.
I think it's fascinating stuff when you start to study it out. I've learned so much doing this. Hey, listen, we're about ready to take off here. It's been a great show, and Brother Mike, we'll see you next week. And for Pastor Brandon Digg, I'm Pastor Jason Cooley, and we'll talk to you later.
Good night.